Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the best of Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart. Let's roll.
All right, here's the story I wanted to get to as well. Ayesha Curry, Steph Curry's wife. You know, she's got a cooking show and, like, cookbooks and stuff,
hey,
right?
Steph, did you get the milk?
Yeah.
So she actually has a restaurant in Houston. And it's getting crushed right now on Yelp in Houston. But the reviews aren't, you know, this is where you're pretty stupid. If I was her, I'd just close the restaurant up and say, screw you, Houston. You know, because, so what? You're going to rip her restaurant and do fake reviews online?
Because Rockets lost to your team?
Because Steph Curry beat you guys? Like, really? Is this that's your big rivalry? So you're going to take it out on Ayesha Curry's restaurant? And all you did, actually, is just give her restaurant publicity.
More publicity.
To be honest. And a lot of people will just, even in Houston, I imagine, will go support her now and support the restaurant just to say, you know what? We're not all stupid idiots. We're not all stupid idiots like this.
Great point when you brought up Wendy's ripping IHOP when it went to International House of Burgers. They gave them free advertising. Smart move.
I mean, here's some of the rocket scientists that occupy the city of Houston. This is absolutely the worst place to go. Her husband ripped our hearts out, and now she has the guts to open up a place here? I would never set foot in that place, even if it was the last place on Earth. P.S., the restaurant is full of snakes. Someone else reviews. First off, I'd like to start off by saying, how dare you bring this mess to Houston? We are good. We don't need this negativity. I can already taste the blandness of the food. The establishment might serve as dusty water and moldy lemons. Blah, 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 blah. Somebody else says, if I wanted to have a terrible time, I'd just turn on a Warriors game. This has to be the dumbest name for a restaurant ever. I'd rather eat a Kentucky Fried Chicken for breakfast every day than eat here once or ever watch the Golden State Warriors play, as the name of the place is Might. Capital letters, M-I-G-H-T.
Wow. Full of snakes.
You know what's funny is, you people basically just gave Ayesha Curry all the publicity that she needs.
Yep. Unbelievable. I bet the restaurant's amazing, actually, too.
I don't know if it's amazing.
That last guy's comment, though, having Kentucky Fried Chicken for breakfast every day sounded like something I would love to do if I wasn't going to die.
I would assume that Ayesha Curry's, I'm sure it's good. Probably like a better Applebee's or something.
A better Applebee's. How's the prices? That's the key. The key is the price point. I don't know. Applebee's is all. The thing I like about Applebee's, you get those 2-for-1 apps. Their apps are always on sale, and I like that. God, man, see what we're paying? Like, I can't believe the prices here. $18 for a pound of wings? That's absolutely ludicrous, man. You can't even go out anymore.
See, I don't know what she serves, though. I don't know what her specialties are.
I don't either. No clue.
I'm trying to look for the menu here. I see you looking for things online, but I don't think you're looking for the menu.
No. I'm looking for horse results. What's the menu? Can you find it?
No menu.
That's pretty stupid, though. That
there's no menu. Yeah,
so Golden State beats you, and you're going to rip around. It just, the whole thing sounds pretty dumb to me, but whatever. You know, why would she pick Houston, though?
Well, she probably has places probably opening up in major
cities around the states.
And we've got a problem in Russia right now. People are having too much fun. It's only day 7 of the World Cup right now. It's not even day 7. What is it?
Was it day?
It's day 5.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, it's day 7 today. It is day seven because it started last, was it Thursday or Friday? No, sorry, Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Seven. This is the seventh day today.
Well, I guess you're right. Yes, that's correct.
Time's flying. Yeah, don't worry, buddy.
I don't know. I'm living here, too.
Like I keep
thinking it's Tuesday for some reason.
Yeah, it feels like a Tuesday.
All right, so they're 1 week into the World Cup, and Moscow is already facing a major problem. They're running out of beer.
Really?
Yeah. Soccer fans from all over the world basically drank all the beer in Russia.
Isn't there a neighboring country that can supply beer to these fiends?
I've got to believe that they've got vodka.
Great point. If you get off the wheat, get on the vodka train or moonshine. Oh, yeah, they got a lot of vodka.
Restaurants in Moscow reporting that fans have depleted their beer supply and it's taking longer to get it delivered. We just didn't think they would only want to drink a beer, said an anonymous waiter at an upscale Italian restaurant. They stocked up on fine wines and other hard liquors. And this guy's surprised. Soccer fans apparently only want to drink beer. Restaurants aren't the only ones having their stocks depleted. Resupply is taking longer today because suppliers are also now running low. There are really a lot of people in Moscow right now, and every single one of them is drinking.
Sounds great.
It's hot, and it's the World Cup. Several beer companies, including Heineken and Baltica, told Reuters that they weren't impacted. Well, FIFA sponsor.
Heineken's their sponsor.
Anheuser-Busch didn't reply.
The Heineken is the sponsor of the UEFA and all the other stuff. I know. So Anheuser-Busch is the other sponsor. Interesting.
Yeah. Budweiser.
Budweiser and Heineken.
Which pisses people off often.
For sure.
They were, because Budweiser outbids everyone. They actually, when they were in Germany and when they were in Europe, when it was Budweiser, where was it last time?
It used to be Carlsberg back in the day.
Yes.
Carlsberg was a big soccer sponsor.
They still are, but not for the World Cup. The World Cup's so big, it's Coca-Cola and Budweiser now, Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, I see you've been on the panel. These guys have the bottle of Coke and stuff
Coca-Cola's
like that.
Coca-Cola's everywhere with the World Cup. But when they were in Europe, I think it was when they were in Belgium and Holland, actually, at the Euro. It was Budweiser, except people are disgusted. Like, people can't drink Budweiser in Belgium.
No, it's to them, that's piss.
So, basically, they had to agree to let the people in the stadium drink the local beer, but in Budweiser cups. Because they didn't want...
Yes.
They didn't want, Budweiser paid money. Yeah, they don't want people, cracking back Heinekens.
Yeah, you can't be going, hey, I love Kronenbourg. No, exactly. They pay the money. And you know in Belgium, there's there's a lot of quality beers there and stuff. Like, they probably take a Budweiser.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean,
tastes like piss.
Yeah, Russia's pretty Americanized, actually.
Yeah.
And Russia's not a big beer-drinking country. They're into vodka, right? That's their thing. So that's another reason why they probably don't have as much beer as you would think. They want to sell their own vodka, Ken.
Yeah, exactly. Beer shortage. They just didn't have enough.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's we've got vodka now. Yeah. Buy the vodka.
Hey, the name's Stoli. Get drinking.
Anyways, if you go to Russia, you don't drink the beer. You drink the vodka.
I agree. That's right. You said it. Russian beer compared to Russian vodka?
It's like going to Japan and ordering Italian food.
It's like go to the spaghetti and meatballs, Mr. Hiroshima.
No, but when you're in Mexico, you drink tequila.
Yeah, you drink tequila. Actually, Mexican beer and Mexican food.
Beer's all right, but
Sol or whatever it is.
You drink
cerveza Tecate.
You drink tequila. You know what I mean? It's like if you go to Jamaica, you go to Barbados. You drink rum.
Rum. Yep. That's what you drink. The best of their country.
It just seems that, you know, you would take advantage of the... I imagine the vodka is extremely cheap there, too.
You'd have to believe. You'd hope. Yeah, that's the best. Put it in a Budweiser cup.
Yeah, they're partying hard in Russia. Looks like people are having a good time there.
You'd be, too. It's hot. Things are happening. Even the locals, man, with the way their team's been playing, they must be getting absolutely pissed. drunk, that is, not in anger. Just
Russian chicks are smoking hot, too. Yeah. Russia continues to dominate.
Russia.
Vladimir Putin, 8. World 1.
Nil. Or 1.
Yeah, 1. Yeah.
Nil.
No, it was 3-1, Cam.
I know. It was a point I was trying to make of he's crushing. Crushing.
All right, so that's time number one that Cam has jumped in and not let me finish my sentence today, and tried to finish my sentence and gotten it wrong. So we'll keep track on the program. You broke a record today, Cam. It's like 30 seconds.
Really?
In.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do the introduction.
It's not doing too good, but continue your intro.
Yeah. So as I was stating, Vladimir Putin now 8, World 1. Russia wins 5-0, and then 3-1. They just beat Egypt. The game is concluded. And you know what? Russia dominated Saudi Arabia. We wondered about Saudi Arabia and whether they had rolled over and whether the envelopes had arrived and the bribes had been made and the geopolitical backroom deals had been made between the kings and the princes of Saudi Arabia and Vladimir Putin. But Russia continued this today. And right now, Russia is basically, they're moving forward. They're moving on into the group of 16. Uruguay is going to need to beat Saudi Arabia tomorrow, which they should, except you never know. These South American countries are really sucking hard in Russia. And then it sets up a showdown for the winner of Group A between Russia and Uruguay, if Uruguay wins tomorrow, which they really should against Saudi Arabia. So a tournament's getting really interesting, and just as everybody predicted, Senegal and Japan would be in first place in that Group H that everybody was very concerned about, actually, that group. And lo and behold, it's chaos.
It's total chaos. No, it's you talk about the word bleak. In my neighborhood, I live in Little Poland. Lots of anger today. Lots of screaming in the garage watching the games. F-bombs. Cars with Poland flags, they're not doing too good, Gabe. That was a big loss for them, and the neighborhood is very, very bitter right now.
Poland's behind the eight ball right now. They really didn't look very good at all. Yet they're still in the mix to advance. Japan's in a good spot right now. They're actually the favorite to win the group right now is actually Senegal. It's amazing how this tournament is flipped, and it's. It's a wide-open tournament still. We can't overreact from one game across the board that these sides have played. Yet the fact of the matter is, man, the standings are whacked right now. Nobody expected Russia to have 8 freaking goals. Because don't forget, Cap, goal differential counts. There's no penalty kicks, right? There's no there's ties.
So Russia's in the catbird seat right now.
Even though we haven't seen very many ties in the World Cup. In fact,
great call. Like that,
there's been one. There's been two ties.
Switzerland.
There's been two ties. Portugal and Spain. And Argentina and Iceland.
Iceland.
And Brazil, Switzerland. Three ties.
Three
ties. That's amazing. Only 3 freaking ties. Soccer's known for a sport for having ties.
How many games have been played? And there have been 3 ties. You said it. Like, that is a low, low number. I'd have to think double that at least.
I don't know. To ask me how many games have been played, I'd have to add that up.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I don't know.
3 ties is low. Very low.
I don't know. A lot of games.
Yeah, you said it. A lot of soccer.
8, 12, 16, 18, 22, 26.
I don't want to make your head hurt, man. It's okay.
Now, you know what? There's been... I'll tell you how many games there's been. There's been 17 games.
And only 3 draws?
Yeah, there's been 17 games because there's 32 teams. Yep. There were 16. Everybody played through today, and then Russia and Egypt were the first teams up from that already played their second game. They're the only teams that played 2 games now, so that's 17 games. So, yeah, 3 ties.
What would you expect usually? I would think about in 17 games.
Sort of a third?
Yeah, I was going to say about 5 or 6.
7?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And also, to be honest, a lot of times, Cam, people play conservative in the first game.
Good
because
point.
They're like, well, let's just get a point and move on. And not let, you know, we don't want to be in last place coming out of this. It's amazing. I mean, expect the unexpected, man. I mean, that's just the reality of this stuff. Look, the over-under, Cam, coming into the tournament for penalty kicks made was 9.5. I think today they're at 10. I think the leading scorer of the tournament is a dude called Own Goal.
OG?
Yeah, like who's got the OG? Yeah, the original gangster. Own Goal.
OG rules.
Own Goal. It's all it is. There have been, in all honesty, it's true. Like, the Own Goals, I think it might be like 5-6 now or something. It's ridiculous. The first goal of the Egypt game today, the guy in Egypt, like, booted it into his own net. Like you thought he would have been trying to score. Like, we're seeing this on a constant basis right now. And we've seen a couple of, they call them Own Goals, too. And I think this is unfair, Cam, because the other day I'm watching a game. Buddy on Belgium drilled the ball in the box. The defender put his leg up to block it. It went off his leg in and net.
Yeah, how's that his? Yeah,
that's not an own goal.
An own goal is kicking it in your own net.
An own goal is like
that
idiot that headed it on Morocco, that headed it into his own net. You know what I mean?
An own goal is it's a screw up. It's an error. It's not a bad situation.
Yeah, like it's not a deflection.
No. Error.
Like this guy was just doing his job. I think he was on Panama. He's just doing his job. What do you want him to do?
Yeah. Got balls coming
Lukaku
100 miles an hour.
Boots a ball out of it, bounces off his leg, goes in the net.
Hits me and goes in. Sorry, man.
Like, to me, it should have been a goal. That should be a goal for the guy that kicked the ball.
Yes.
Right? Like, an own goal is basically a mistake.
An own goal should be an extreme screw up.
Yeah, but basically they don't use any judgment on it. It's basically who the ball went off of.
Yeah,
and, you know, the guy in Egypt, it wasn't his fault. It was a bam-bam play. It went off his leg type of thing. But, of course, it ricocheted right into the net. But point being, I talked about this. And, of course, like an idiot, I gave up on it after a couple of games because it didn't happen when I did it. But I swear, Kev, you can get Own Goal to be first goal of the game in the 20-1 range for every game. And it's happened. It's happened like 4 times now.
It's worth a bet.
20-1.
It's when you used to get a...
And it's the same thing with the headers. It's basically like, well, or a penalty kick as well. Will the first goal of the game be a penalty kick? You get that at like 12-1. It's happened on more than one occasion. There's more penalty kicks in this than ever. And the reason is why there's more penalty kicks is because they're going to review right now. There's been a couple of times where the guy gets taken down in the box, the ref on the field doesn't call it, then they go up to the booth after. Because they wait till the next sort of stoppage when the ball goes out of bounds check the tape. And you know, that's what happened today with Mo Salah. Like, the ref on the field, or the pitch, didn't.
I like the pitch.
Yeah, the pitch.
Pitch sounds nice. The pitch.
Why is it a pitch?
Well, that's other things are called, like a cricket pitch and whatever. So they just, because in Britain, they call a grass the pitch. A grassy place to play sports is a pitch.
So we should call
golf course should be a pitch then.
No, it's a golf course.
Course.
I was going to say a football field should be called a pitch.
Yes, it is a pitch.
Welcome to the pitch at Lambeau.
Life's a pitch, then you die.
Welcome, 40-yard bomb down the pitch.
I like pitch.
I don't know. It's like, why do they call golf fans patrons? They're spectators. They're just fans. They're not patrons.
So no other sport has patrons? No, you're right. I was going to say horse racing fans are just degenerates. Let's see what else.
Horse racing is just bad people.
A guy will steal your wallet. Go to the
shady.
Oh, Jude, I didn't tell you the story. A horrible stuff happens.
It's like my buddy.
There was a murder at Belmont on the weekend.
My mentor, Ted Teven, told me, he said, Gabe, I never once met a bad person at the track. Thinking that's impossible.
That's a pure lie, buddy. I know you respect the man, but that's a lie.
So you sound surprised that somebody got murdered at Belmont?
No, it was horrible. No. And it wasn't like a fan in the stands. It was actually one of the girls who does the walking and works with the horses. Oh. Her ex-boyfriend got into the paddock and stabbed her to death. It's a huge story, man. It's absolutely brutal. Like, can you believe that?
See, nothing good happens at a horse track.
Amen. You said it.
You go to a horse track.
Stick
to the slots and bet on sports.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Poor girl.
It sucked. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, man. The neighborhood looked pretty shaken down today, Gabe. I don't know.
Any other good news?
Yeah, no, bad
Besides
news.
People getting whacked and anything else?
No. My neighbor from Poland looks like he wants to put a hole through people. I saw he was cursing all day.
Poland coming into this, I thought we're overrated.
Yep.
And I apologize to any Polish fans listening to the program right now. But Poland showed absolutely nothing. Nothing whatsoever today. I get it. Senegal are pretty good, but Senegal essentially dominated Poland. Poland looked disinterested. Poland didn't get a sense of urgency until there was about 10 minutes left.
They were already down 2-0.
In the match for one reason or another. And that's been a theme of this for, I don't know, like Germany didn't have a sense of urgency early enough. Brazil has lacked a sense of urgency. Argentina, you know, I guess these sort of bigger sides think they're pacing themselves. Yeah. But, yeah, Germany, you pace yourselves right into being in last place in a group right now. You know, by not getting more desperate.
And having to beat Sweden.
And you look at Poland, you know, it was unacceptable. Today, Colombia, Colombia had a man ejected of the game like 3 minutes in. They played a man down and they ended up losing. Colombia find themselves in a precarious situation right now. And we talk about this all the time, though, coming in. This thing's all geographical, people. It just is. It's like the South American Latin countries do not do well
in Europe.
They've never done well going back into the history of the World Cup. And you go down the list of the South American, you know, the big time sexy teams. Brazil underachieved against Costa Rica. Argentina underachieved against Iceland. Uruguay was lucky to beat an Egyptian side that Russia just beat the crap out of. And Uruguay are a big-time team. Colombia loses to Japan. You know, we can go down the list here. Mexico was victorious, but Mexico's not a South American country. They're a North American country.
Exactly. Yeah, they're with us.
You know, people don't look at them as North America, but yeah, they're – you ever heard of NAFTA? I know they want to rip it up.
Yeah, but we might not have NAFTA soon, but it exists now.
Yeah, so
soon it's just – what are you going to call it?
Mexico might speak Spanish. And another instance, it's like Portugal. You know, Portugal is a weird country. Like Portugal speaks they speak Portuguese, but that's what they speak in Brazil. But they're in Europe.
Yeah.
Like Brazil, like Portugal's out of place, sort of. Like Portugal sort of.
Good point. Jono is like four languages.
Yeah.
Like he can speak any language. I hear him on the phone talking to different guys in different languages.
Like Portugal, like the style of country and the way that it is, it should be next to Argentina and Brazil. You know, but.
Saying get out of Europe, come to South America.
It happens to be in Europe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's next to Spain as well. But nevertheless, so. Yeah, this tournament's wide open right now. Still, the favorite to win is still Brazil at +400. Spain right there at +450. France didn't look very good in their first match. They're +700. Germany are suddenly +800. Belgium are +850. They didn't look great against Panama. They stepped it up in the second half. Argentina didn't look very good against Iceland. England, there's not a hope in hell England's winning the World Cup.
Well, people are fired up for that big win. Well, yeah, it's one game.
And then you got Portugal that, I don't know, man. There's kind of value with Portugal at 20-1, I think, just because.
28.
Portugal play up or down to the level of competition. But if you look at the match against Spain, Cam, they were freaking lucky it was a draw.
Of course they were. Their defense,
Spain were the way better team.
Portugal's got a good, they could score goals, but they give up a lot of goals.
Spain dominated the ball.
They sure did.
Spain really should have won the game. You know, they got sloppy in the first couple of minutes, and there was a penalty kick awarded. Ronaldo scored on a penalty kick. The second goal of the game that Portugal scored was a horrible goal that I would have stopped, literally and figuratively. Ronaldo just squibbed it at the net, and Buddy screwed up. And he pulled a Buckner.
Good goalie, too.
Yeah, great goalie. Manchester United. Yeah. And that was the second goal. The third goal was a beautiful free kick. The thing with Portugal is, though, they're not great, but they're hard to beat. They just are.
They have that it factor?
Well, all the games are close, and then this Ronaldo just does his thing.
Magic. I got him at 28-1. I'm not sure they're going to win the tournament.
He does it a lot, too. He just does.
See the lines for tomorrow? Portugal's -163 against Morocco. Take a look at the other two. Uruguay -600 versus the Saudis, and Spain -500 versus Iran.
Yeah, we'll talk about this with Big Man on campus. We'll also talk NBA draft props as the NBA draft is rapidly approaching. The NBA rumor mill continues, but I hate freaking rumors. This isn't a high school cafeteria. But we can break down the draft props. That's something that we can sink our teeth into. And we can tell you that last week we talked about the ugly situation with the Ottawa Senators and Erik Karlsson and Mike Hoffman and his psychotic fiance, allegedly. The NBA is a league in which teams will absorb bad contracts, and I stated specifically teams like the Brooklyn Nets, and then the Brooklyn Nets absorbed Dwight Howard's contract today. And the first thing I thought was, damn, because that's like that's something that the Raptors should have been pushing Serge Ibaka on, but I'd rather have Dwight Howard than Serge Ibaka.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I would too.
Dwight Howard actually doesn't suck.
Lots of reports, though, that in the room, apparently the guys hated him. Like, just everybody hated this guy. They're like celebrating when he's gone. I didn't think he's that bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's because he
was delivering.
Because he doesn't try.
And you said, remember when we were doing DFS at the end of the year when he went bonkers for a few of those games? Like, you could do it every night. Why don't you do it every night?
He could do it every night. But at the end of the year when he went bonkers at the end of the year, he stated, well, I'm feeling motivated recently. It's like, dude, man, you should feel motivated every night. Thing is, because he's such a physical specimen, it's almost unfair because people want him to be better than he is. But he puts up these big numbers, yet you feel like he could do better, that he's an underachiever, even though he puts up relatively big numbers, yet inconsistent big numbers. And quite frankly, I don't really think he gives a shit whether they win or not.
No.
And that's always been a thing with him in which he's just not all that upset about losing.
Yeah. It's a job. Like, you know what I mean? And most guys, when you go to work in that type of a profession, you want it so bad. You want to win. You grind. Well, whatever.
Strange.
It's a paycheck.
Well, athletes don't really want to win all that much anymore, Ken, to be real. Like, who wants to win?
I want to win. Don't you want to win if you play? At anything you do, you want to win.
Everybody says they want to win. Who's going to say I want to lose? People don't do the things that it takes to win. You have to do things to win when nobody sees. It's all about the little things that sets you up for winning in life or in sports. So everyone can say, ooh, I want to win. Yeah, you want to
work at it, yeah.
But are you putting the work in to win? Do you have a plan for the future to win? And for the most part, you know, most people in life know. And, you know, most people just complain. Ah, it's not my fault. I'm held back. It's everybody else's fault. You know, that's pretty much the you know, walk into any bar and you're not
going to hear that sob story.
You're not going to hear a lot of people talk about how, you know what, I've really screwed up with myself. Right? No, nobody ever really says that. It's always, well, it's can't be me. It's that the world conspires against me. But it's the same thing in sports. How many NFL teams really want to win? There's a reason why the New England Patriots are there every year, because they are dedicated to winning. Are the Buffalo Bills dedicated to winning?
No.
No. I'm not saying they don't try to win. They sign players. They attempt to win. But they're not dedicated to winning. There are certain franchises, certain athletes. Like, if you look in the NBA, are the Minnesota Timberwolves? Is Andrew Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins is talented as hell. Is he? Is Klay Thompson better than Andrew Wiggins? Probably not.
No.
Right?
But he's a winner.
But he puts the entire body of work into, you know, what he does. And we can go across the board in every sport. To me, I think the most competitive athletes actually are baseball. Baseball is such an individualistic sport. You won't see baseball players happy when they strike out.
No, they're pissed.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's NBA players that'll miss a free throw. Yeah. They don't care. Yeah. They don't care. They get blown out by 18. They don't care.
Well, baseball
player goes 0-for-5, yeah, strikes out.
Oh, he's
team
raging.
Loses 6-0.
Yep.
Nobody's happy. You know, hockey players as well. Hockey players will have that sort of compete, and the players will compete. But then it comes down to does the organization want to win? In each sport, Cam, there's only a few teams that ever win.
Baseball is different because its success is 3 out of 10 times you're doing a hell of a good job. You fail 70% of the time.
Yeah.
That's how hard it is to deal with. Like, you hit 3 balls out of 10, you're doing a great job, but you're failing 7 times. It's a different mindset.
But baseball teams, you know, baseball, only a few teams are all in it to win it all the time. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays, they don't care about winning.
No. They would have spent the money when they were close. They got very close.
Yeah, no, it's not just the money. They spend money now. Like, the Jays' salary cap isn't, like, amongst the lowest in the league. But they just do enough to get by. Like, people in life. You know, sports and life are always correlated. The Blue Jays do enough to get by. They field a team that doesn't suck so they can sell tickets.
500.
That's all sports is. It's entertainment. The owners don't care about winning. There's like a handful of owners in each league that actually really, really get upset if they don't win. They've already won. They're already billionaires.
Yep. Yeah. If you owned a team, you'd want to win.
Like Terry Pegula isn't crying at night because the Buffalo Sabres suck. I'm not saying he's happy about it, but
he's loaded. Yeah, I know.
It's not his be-all, end-all obsession. George Steinbrenner was obsessed. Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are obsessed with winning.
Yes.
They want to be better. They want the spoils. The Golden State Warriors are obsessed. That's why they're already great, and they bring in Kevin Durant. Most teams would be like, well, we don't have room for Kevin Durant. We just won the title, and, well, you know, we already have the three All-Stars here. And no, they were like, no, you know what? We're going to be better if we bring in Kevin Durant. You know, it's the winning mentality or a loser's mentality. But it seems like people have more of a loser's mentality in today's society that we live in. You know, people will live vicariously through others and just cry online all day.
Yeah. I admit my failures.
The world is unfair, you know? And look, it spins into politics. Look at the right-wing candidates always win all the time now. And the candidates that are basically hated the most on social media, they're the ones that win. You know, the left is big on typing away and hashtags, but they're not big on actual results.
The right do.
Right, so, well, the right's a bunch of old ladies and stuff and old people that vote. They're not tweeting. They're not tweeting.
Trump tweets.
It's a note to myself. Less tweeting in my own life.
It's usually about sports and picks, though, and props.
Yeah, less. Yeah,
that's to do with your job.
Yeah, Craig Martin says golf is the worst. And exactly. Golf is a classic example of this. How many guys on the tour really, really care about winning? And how many guys are out there? How many guys are out
there? Paycheck players? Lots of paycheck players out there.
They're happy that basically, listen, yeah, I'm 77th on tour. I made $8 million last
year. There's a handful of guys.
Does my life suck? No.
A lot of them, hey, you're top 50. You're making tons of money. That's the best thing about golf. We used to say, if you met Bo Van Pelt when he was number 13 on the FedEx list, you wouldn't even recognize that turkey if he walked into a Walmart. And the guy's made over millions of dollars.
I would make it, if I was in charge of golf, I'd make it more ruthless. More money to the top. More money to the top. Enough of this, you know.
Like
what?
A guy 56 getting a good paycheck. It's
freaking ridiculous, man. Guy finishes 77th and he gets a check for $113,000.
It's an interesting way. Look, top heavy.
I get it.
Other guys got to get paid, but just less.
I get it. Well, it's no fear. I got to rent my car from Nationwide to get to the, you know what I mean?
Rich Beam used to live in his car. Remember? Yeah, all in one. Yeah, no, he was happy he won an Ultima.
It's like Formula One, man. Formula One, the other team started crying because Ferrari was too good. Like, don't own a Formula One team if you don't want to compete with Ferrari. What do you want Ferrari to do? All right, yeah, we're going to dumb things down and we'll turn our car into a Pinto so you can compete with us.
We're McLaren. Wah.
It's exactly. You don't have the money to compete with them. Therefore, get the hell out of the room. You want them to revamp their entire circuit? Because, ooh, let's slow it down because Mercedes and they have too much money. Yeah. Let's slow it down because poor Jaguar doesn't have any money, Cap.
You're right in golf.
You know what I mean?
I'm trying to
BM, Team yeah. BMW's BMW. Complaining.
I know.
Yeah. BMW. Yeah, I know. You guys are you're really broke, right? It's don't compete with them then.
Red Bull's in the F1 business. They're doing all right.
Red Bull's got money.
Yeah, they got lots of money.
Red Bull also has wings.
Red Bull does have wings. Actually, other than Tiger Woods and a couple guys, Gabe, you're right. In golf, I'm thinking Matt Kuchar to me is the ultimate paycheck player. just perma smile, happy to get my $250,000 check.
They're
go home to the
guys,
family.
But
no,
but
they don't have the killer instinct of Tiger.
Look at
Dustin Johnson.
Gee shucks. He goes home. He drinks a bottle of wine and he has sex with Paulina Gretzky.
Good life.
He doesn't. He's not the type of guy who's a golfer on tour that is really resisting just smashing a club against a tree at the end of the round because you know, he didn't win. You know, a few of them.
Tiger.
I think Tiger, it bothers. It really bothered him before. Now he's kind of screwed. He's old. Tiger trying to win a golf tournament is like me trying to pick up a chick. It's like we used to be successful at it. We still believe we can do it, but it's not happening. It might happen once.
As a friend, Morenci.
No, but it's
no,
like,
I'm just going to tell you, I'm not your wingman or anything, but how the hell are you going to meet a chick when you're never leaving your domicile and doing shows all night?
I'm aware, but it's like getting laid, but you don't win a master. You don't win the Masters. You don't win a major. You know what I mean? He might win at some point.
I got to be honest with you. I'd rather have a major because eventually you're going to get laid again. That's the legacy. That's the ultimate prize. Having sex is... Hey, it's icing on the cake, but don't you want to go down? If you're a golfer,
yeah, but
the whole thing is to win a major.
I'm not comparing it to. It's an analogy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just saying. I'd like to have a major and have sex.
Yeah, that wasn't the point, but thank you, Kev. Thank you.
No problem, buddy.
But the fact is, yeah, there are very few athletes out there and teams. NFL owners don't give a crap about winning. NBA owners don't give a crap about winning.
I think there's a lot of hockey players that almost want to kill themselves when they don't win.
Hockey players.
It's a different mentality.
Hockey players care about winning. Hockey, the owners don't. The teams don't for the most part. That's why it's the same damn teams that win all the time in the National Hockey League. The same franchises are good. I think hockey players care at the time. I'll say they are more competitive. But today's athlete, they make too much money. And I'm not one of these people at all. You make too much money, take it away from them.
No.
No, the money's there, so give it to them. It's part of the pie. It is what it is. But the problem is if
too much money makes you soft.
If you make that much money, you can't be – it's the only the very rare people are still going to be ultra hungry and competitive.
It's a great – I agree 100%.
After they get $200 million.
You're right.
Right? They've already won. They grew up broke. They have $180 million.
Win.
And it's like, oh, boo-hoo, I got knocked out in the third round of the NBA playoffs. Yeah, I'm going to kill myself now. Yeah, I'm going to jump off a bridge. Nobody cares about championships anyways. I mean, we do as far as legacies, but people don't remember a couple of years later. It's a business, man. It's all about money, man. That's what it comes down to. Phil Mickelson is finally...
apologizing?
Finally realizing. Well...
I don't care, personally. I don't care if he apologizes. So
Phil Mickelson apologized for hitting a still-moving putt at the 2018 U.S. Open and a text message to several reporters. Mickelson, who previously had defended his actions on the 13th green in round three at Shinnecock, noted that his frustration and anger boiled over and he more or less snapped. Why didn't he just, we all know that. That's what he just should have said after.
Yeah.
That's what he should have said.
That's what I'm saying.
He should have said, guys, and started laughing. Said, guys, I really effed up, man.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm embarrassed. He goes, I got so pissed off at the hole. I want to apologize to all the other players. And, you know, I really, you know, I want to thank them for not kicking me out. But
he does it on Wednesday. And it just tells you that it's not truthful because his real natural reaction would have been that. But he didn't. He gave you the business answer. Who cares?
So he and it also, you know, it's fake because he texted it. Why wouldn't he just he wouldn't talk, right?
Exactly.
He goes, I know this should have come sooner, but it's taken me a few days to calm down. My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. I'm embarrassed and disappointed in my actions. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I'm sorry. I think that the only reason he's saying this now is because I think he is embarrassed. I think he is embarrassed, but I think he's only sorry. It's like people are only sorry if they got caught.
Yep, you know exactly. 100%.
He's embarrassed because he sees that, oh, shit.
I did something crazy.
These guys really are taking this seriously. Like, this is really not, this isn't going away. Or at least, it went away at the time because it was a softball interview and the crowd still liked them anyways. But I think the reality settled in. You know what? I really tarnished my reputation here. I better say something about this, because I guarantee you, if everyone would have laughed it off and said, oh, Phil, that was so funny, and oh, it was creative of him to think about the rules like that, then he wouldn't be apologizing now.
Exactly. And I'm with you. I think the apology means jack. I really don't care. You know he doesn't mean it. And just watching his face and whatever when he did that thing, you know, he's unapologetic. He's just doing it to try to save face, and I don't care. I'm with you. I think it still tarnishes his image, and it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on the golf course. So, you know what? I think the sport of golf, there's a lot of things I disagree with. I think the rules are too tight when it comes to, like, balls moving and stuff like that. And back in the old days, old ladies calling in and DQing guys. What he did was a disgrace.
His wife, Amy Mickelson, says that that Phil Mickelson actually went up to Mike Davis and offered to withdraw from the tournament. And Davis told him not to.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't believe it.
You think you're calling Amy Mickelson a liar?
Yeah. Why would she? Of course, she's going to lie for her husband. Why? And then you know what? And then why didn't he just do it by himself then?
I don't.
Did he enjoy that paycheck for finishing?
Did he enjoy
the paycheck for finishing T55 or whatever the hell it was? He still got paid. See, that's another thing. This just
and
all sounds like BS.
As well, too. Yeah, he's apologetic now on Wednesday. For the record, too. He told people to, quote, toughen up if they had a problem with this after on Sunday.
Yeah. A little bit of a different reaction.
Amy Mickelson says he's a good man who had a bad moment. He's not perfect. I'm not. You're not. You might have a bad day at work or do something or say something you regret.
Yep, true.
When a player does it, it's on a very large stage, and there's so much immediate reaction on Twitter and social media. It can be overwhelming.
It's amazing to me how many times athletes now have their wives doing their dirty work. Like, you know what I mean? Like standing up for you or the Twitter accounts and all this other stuff. You said it. You should have done it on Saturday. Be a man. Take care of the situation. We wouldn't be there. But it was fake the first time, and it's fake the second time. So that's the way it is. You notice that, Morency? A lot of women are stepping up and doing, like what's Amy Mickelson? It's Phil. Phil should be doing the talking, not his wife.
Ricky Fowler was played with them after. And see, that's the thing, though. A lot of the golfers, they're not, you know, Ricky Fowler said he thought it was funny.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
see. That's the problem, right?
It's not funny, though.
Yeah, but nobody, what players ripped him for this?
The Brits. Lee Westwood ripped them.
The British guys.
Yeah. Who are right. Yeah, none of the. You're right. All the American guys. Well, we look up to Phil. We used to play him in cash. Who knows everybody?
Where's Dustin
Johnson? Yeah, none of these guys have said nothing.
Where's Jordan Spieth saying, you know what? Yeah. That's a disgrace that he did that. I like Phil. I look up to him, but that's a disgrace. No,
none of them said it.
And Fowler sounds like a politician. He's like, well, you know, yeah, I guess he could have taken the drop, but that would have looked funny. Fowler said.
What?
He could have saved himself a shot by taking it unplayable. Fowler said after the round, but that still would have looked pretty funny. Fowler said he saw no evidence that Mickelson was weighted down or distraction out there.
It's funny to take a drop. A million guys take drops all the time. It's funny to take a drop. That's what happened. You hit a ball out of bounds, you take a drop. You hit a ball in the water, you take a drop. You hit a ball in the hazard, you take a drop. What's funny about it? That's what you do in golf. Like, what? Because the ball's rolling down a hill, Gabe, and he has to put it in a little circle? Here's my two-stroke penalty.
I don't think they kicked him out because...
I think it's bullshit, this whole thing.
I think they didn't kick him out because it's the Grand Slam thing. He's never won the U.S. Open.
That's right. He hasn't won the U.S. Open. As close as he got was to Payne Stewart. Payne Stewart won that U.S. Open and then died in a plane crash. They've been waxing poetic for years about Phil Mickelson in the U.S. Open, and the reason he didn't get DQ'd was for those hardcore golf fans and all the other people like who work at golf clubs. He was the main feature in the early rounds, Gabe. They wouldn't have had any coverage.
Exactly.
Even though he was plus 15, you got to remember the leaders were plus 3. What are you going to do? If you're even at a bar or a golf club and you see Phil Mickelson on the TV, you're probably going to keep it there because next to Tiger Woods, he's the second most popular guy on tour. End of story.
Phil says he's already looking forward to next year's U.S. Open.
Sure he is.
At Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Pebble Beach. Yeah. It's unbelievable. You said it, though. Like, none of these guys, that's the thing. Like, he's the older statesman, so Fowler comes in to defend him. And if it happened to any other guy, it would have been an absolute shit show. But, hey, different strokes for different folks. Some people play by different rules, so he can do whatever he wants.
Cam's in a...
I'm a classic rock type of guy.
All right, for Cam, we'll leave CC.
Woo, they're red, white, blue, yeah.
Cam's in a good mood because he got a deal on big cans of Pepsi because they've got gay pride rainbow flags on them.
Yeah, 2 for 1, where the regular can's $1.49.
What'd you say? They even taste, they taste better?
Yeah, they taste sweeter. It's like got a new formula. I don't know what they're doing with the gay pride can, but I'm liking it.
It's full, chock full of gay power.
Power!
Gay power Pepsi. Gay inspired. Extra sugar. Extra sweet. Yeah, it's chaos. Cam's talking to me during the break. He's like, you know what? His gay Pepsi is really good.
Pride Pepsi.
Yeah, the Pride Pepsi can's really good. Yeah. And then I got Mike Florio tells me into my headset, and Cam could testify. He heard him.
Yeah. Call Cardano.
He goes, listen, Cardano, call Cardano during the commercial break. He wants to talk to you. And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of serious. Yeah, it's kind of serious if he's like, once. So I call him during the commercial break, and then Cardano's like, what are you doing? He goes, no, I'm calling to come on the show. So once again, miscommunication, Florio. Mike Cardano joins us. How have you put up with Florio all this time, Cardano?
He's my guy. He's actually my guy.
I hate to know the other guys then.
Let me ask you a question. I'm driving.
Florio's a great guy. He's doing a great job.
Bust his balls.
We're just busting his balls. So, yeah. How did I make you nearly crash your car?
Well, I'm listening to your interview here, and did you just make two words have sex and create a new word? What is a Roval?
The Roval.
Oh, yeah, Roval.
Yeah, you like that, the Roval. Yeah, it's a new porn fetish. Roval.com. It's it's like a road course, so road. On an oval. Roval. This is cutting edge stuff here, Cardano. This is why you have us on the air. That's what they're calling it.
Who's they?
NASCAR.
Me.
That's like, what do you call it? What do you call a thing with like half fork, half spoon? What do you call that?
A spork.
Spork. Let me ask you something, and this has been pissing me off too. Why do they call it like a pitch, a soccer pitch? Like, do you like the soccer? Like, you know, like...
pitch instead of field?
You're like, basically like you're talking about college football. They'll say, this team's in great shape, great conditioning. They had 2-a-days. You notice in soccer, this team's very fit.
Pit, exactly.
This team's very fit.
It's the Brits.
You know, it's not a goalie. It's the goalkeeper.
It's a keeper or a tender.
Yeah. Goalkeeper.
Well,
no.
You don't see a lot of overweight soccer players. They're fit.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they are fit. Oh, yeah, very fit. Very
That's
fit.
A good point. It's not like golf where you could be like half a barn rat.
Oh, yeah. You know? Half a barn rat's like...
Imagine half a barn rat trying to play soccer, run up and down the field.
I told you. I saw Tim Heron lumpy. He looked like he was dead after a round, man. He's a big guy with a big boiler.
And, Mike, they're going to Qatar next time.
Uh-oh. Hot.
Google the word Roval, that like, is this going to be a tribute to you, or that's a word? That's a real word?
No, it really is. I didn't make it up myself. That's, let's see. All right, Roval. Let's see what comes up. Roval. I'm almost scared here. Roval components.
Words with...
I don't think that's a word.
It's like there's...
No, because they're talking about it in Scrabble. Roval, if it is a word.
Roval is a cycling company. They sell bike wheels.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Roval.
Cam, if we're playing Scrabble and I use the word Roval, you're going to let me pass with that?
Yes. Part road course, part oval. Yeah, Roval. Well, listen, it's the first time they're doing this.
So it's new.
So the word has just been invented.
So Scrabble's got added now.
Florio, call the son of a bitches up over Webster's Dictionary and tell him we need the word Roval in here. Yeah, Roval. Imagine dropping this at one of those kids at the ESPN spelling bee.
Spell
Roval. One of the kids. Can you use it in a sentence? Jimmy Johnson does well on a Roval
course.
All right, Mike.
All right, take care.
Have a great weekend.
Mike Cardano.
I thought Florio said call Cardano on the cell phone. You're on ding, ding, ding. That's what I heard, too. And then he's on the air. Clam Chowder's here.
Anytime there's any sort of confusion or any sort of problem or anything or miscommunication with
you blame me or Florio.
No, I was just going to say, well.
When I trip on a cord?
We know it's not my fault. Can't be. So. I was just going to say, anytime, like, you know, if you're wondering what the hell's Florio doing, you know, he's a Bills fan.
Listen to Game Time Decisions every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.